Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Well, you want to praise the King. What did you say, Deborah?
We're energized
is right. Man, if you were here yesterday, I'll tell you what, if you missed yesterday, we had a great day yesterday. We had about 125 people here from, we had people from Alaska, from Minnesota, from Oklahoma, from Connecticut, from Florida, from Colorado, and if there's, from where? Lubbock, yeah, that's Texas. Yeah, okay, Texas. We had people from Texas. And after we went down the list and people told us where all they were from, all over the place, I asked the question last. Is there any, out of that whole massive bunch of people here, I said, is there anybody here from Justin? Only one. And that was Dave. Nobody held up their hand. I said, there's not a single person here from Justin. Dave's back there jumping up and down, waving both hands. He said, I'm here. I said, okay. Praise the King. And cell phones. We need you to turn off your cell phone. Yes, praise the Lord. If you got one, I've already turned mine off. So I thank you. I forget that so much of the time. And then they ring. But praise the King. If you got a cell phone, turn it off or put it on vibrate or something if you have to be notified so it doesn't disturb anybody else. And Lord, I ask you, that water back there in the back, Lord, I ask you to anoint that water with the Holy Ghost and power. And bless that water to everybody's body that drinks it. That is pure well water, good stuff, been tested. I mean, it is great stuff. It's anointed by the Holy Ghost and power. And they drank about a jug and a half of that yesterday. So, boy, there's some of them went out here anointed. We pray over that water. It's good water. It really is good water. Praise the King. Well, welcome. We welcome all of you. And today we want to, we're going to continue on in some teaching that we did. We started here a while back. I did, you know, I'm the kind of guy that, you know, I'll get the, let's say I got 8 sets of scriptures here, you know, that I thought surely that'd be enough for an hour and a half. And then I got the first two sets. And so I got the rest of them. We got to go over today or whatever. Or maybe the next two or three Sundays. I don't know what it'll take. But anyway, on this little teaching that we're doing here that I started a little while back, I started in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 through 18, if you remember. And I was talking about our enemy and who this guy is, the devil. Now, you know, I used to really, I guess a long time ago, I used to be afraid of the devil because I didn't know anything about him.
Amen.
You know, but now I'm not afraid of him at all.
Amen.
You know, now I know he can't touch me unless I sin. You know, and so as long as I walk in obedience to God's word, I can walk right through the middle of these devils and demons and they can't touch me. In fact, when I speak to them in the name of the King, they have to obey me.
Yes, sir.
And so that's a wonderful thing since I'm fighting against spiritual wickedness and not flesh and blood.
Amen.
You know, I was kidding Keith here a while ago. Him and that just got married. Y'all know we married him here a while back. I asked her, I said, is Keith being good to you? She said, yes, sir. I said, good. I walked up to him. I said, you know, if he's not, I'll have to get you because I'll sick Jesus on you. He's bigger than me. But he, that boy, he don't matter how big he knows what happened with Jesus gets sick on him, right?
Amen.
And so you're going to be a good boy just like me, right, Keith?
Oh, yeah.
We don't want the Lord to sick one of them demons on us because them boys, they hurt you.
Amen.
Yeah, and if the Lord sicks a demon on us, we're in trouble, aren't we, Keith?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. But we ain't going there, are we?
No,
we're going to walk holy and obedient to the Word of God because we don't want them devils. We want them to be subject to us.
Amen.
You know, if one of them big wicked critters comes to your house, oh, my lands, you want to be able to get him out. You don't want him to have legal right to be at your house. And that's what's going on in the world, and the people don't know it. No, I didn't understand it, but I'm, you know, rapidly getting there to where I understand who these beasts are and what they're doing and who we're fighting about. And then, of course, we covered in 2 Corinthians 10, we learned, you know, how to fight the battle a little bit. In 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 7, which I won't go over those again. But then we're going to start today where I left off in Matthew 16. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, We come to your throne of grace praising you and thanking you and worshiping you that you are the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And that all power and all authority in heaven and earth is yours. And Lord, you're our Lord. You're our God. You're our Savior. And Lord, we want to know more about you. We want to love you. We want to just praise you and worship you because you're the King.
Amen.
And Lord, when we walk in obedience to your word, you've made us some awesome promises as your children. And Lord, we praise you for those promises. We thank you and praise you and worship you because those promises are always yes and amen to your obedient children. You never say no to your obedient children. And Lord, help us all to be those obedient children. We want to worship you and praise you and thank you. We do not want to live in sin. We want to walk holy in your presence. So Lord, as we read your scriptures today, we ask you by your Holy Spirit to convict each one of us of the truth that's in these words so we'll walk holy and obedient to your word. And we ask you to bless everything we do today. And then as we go out this week, we ask you to empower us to do great things for the kingdom of God. And we praise you and thank you for the privilege to be your sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a young lady here that told me something a while ago. I asked her how she came into our ministry. And she said somebody gave her a set of CDs called The Tongue. And she said, I listened to those CDs over and over, I think she said for 13 months, about 300 times.
Wow.
Wow. I asked her, I said, well, have you gotten anything else? She said, yes, I now have many more of your teachings. But I thought, and one of the boys that was with her said something, well, how could you do that? She said, I learned something from it every time I listened to it. The tongue. Just like I told her, it's either your best friend or your worst enemy. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today, how that the power of the tongue. We're going to get into that a little bit. But in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, this is where we're going to start. I want you to see what the King has given us, his children. And the Lord says, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Can you imagine God giving you the keys to his kingdom? I mean, you got to know me pretty good for me to give you a key to my house. And you got to know me a whole lot better if I give you a key to my shop. My wife don't even want a key to my shop. She don't want to go out there. She has a key to my house. It's her house, too, but she doesn't even have a key to my shop. Because the reason I don't give her a key to the shop, because I know she ain't going out there. She is not built like that to go out there and work on something in that shop. So she does not have a key to my shop. She don't want one. Now, if she asked me for one, I'd give her one, of course. But she doesn't want one. But listen to what the King's given to you and me. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Just think, he gives you unlimited power, binding and loosing. You remember the little woman in Luke 13:11. The little woman had had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years and it could in no wise straighten herself up. And the King walked up to her and said, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And what did that demon have to do? He left. And that little woman, which had been bowed over, stooped like this for 18 years, walking around like this, was set free.
Amen.
How would you like to have a demon living in your body that had you drawn over like that where you couldn't do anything? When I see these beasts that we're fighting against, they had legal right to her because of sin. She had sinned under the law. She had broken the law. So a devil come in and entered her and bound her over. But that's our enemy. Who did he say we fight against? Flesh and blood?
No.
Who is our enemy? Satan and his hosts of demons. Now then, you know, these guys are invisible, but you can't see the kingdom of heaven either, can you? No, you can't see it. The only thing you can see about the kingdom of heaven is when you see a man or a woman that's walking in God's anointed power. That's when you see the kingdom of heaven at work on earth. But the average Christian never gets to walk in it. I didn't walk in it for many, many years of my life because I didn't know who he was. I didn't know the scripture. Well, he's not going to release to me anything I don't know that's mine by faith. He's a faith God. He'll let you suffer and die on this earth and even go to hell. But yet everything he has been provided for you, right there, free.
Amen.
All you got to do is take it. He'll let you stay sick all of your life. If you think, well, I'm just suffering for Jesus. No, I don't want to offend anybody. But if you tell me you're suffering for Jesus, you hadn't studied the scripture very well.
Amen.
You know, I could have not been so nice. I could have just said you're stupid. You know, but I really don't want to offend anybody, but you know, so because see, I was stupid for a lot of years of my life. So when I say something to you, it always comes back to me. For how many years did I not see anybody set free, healed, or delivered, or nothing else? Oh, too many years. Too many years. And so now then I'm learning. In fact, I read this a lot of times. And he says, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And then whatever you bind or, you know, you do not allow on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose or on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind or loose, whatever you allow, or whatever you don't allow. It's amazing how much power God give you. So as a Christian, when another individual walks up to me and says, here's a cigarette. These are real good. Why don't you try one? And I have the power to either say, okay, take that thing, or I have the power to say, no, I don't want that thing. Somebody walk up to you and say, hey, have a beer with us. See, all these things I'm telling you happened to me as a kid. You know, all happened. You know, somebody comes up to you, hey, Thurman, have a beer. We went down to Lano and bought a case of beer. I don't drink beer. Oh, come on. You chicken. Have one. Be one of the boys. Aren't you going to be one of the boys? No, I ain't going to be one of the boys. They said, well, at least have a smell of it. They opened one and said, don't that smell good? Run it over my nose. You know what I said? I said, I was still back in the days when most of y'all never lived there. Some of you have. I used to follow behind a horse pulling up one plow, an old mare. And every once in a while, she'd have to let off some water, you know. And, you know, when she did, you know, it'd splatter, you know, and she'd get it on her tail, and she'd flop her tail, and she'd always hit you in the face with it. And I said, you know, I told the boys, I said, that horse stuff smells and tastes better than that stuff does, so I ain't sure we ain't drinking what come out of that horse, so why would I drink that? That's kind of the way I look at it. You know, I was always kind of a bold guy. You know, I'm always been a man's man. I'm not a man that can be swayed by somebody else.
Amen.
I don't care what you can do, what you can't do.
Right.
You know, I don't care if you can do 10,000 things better than me or worse than me. If I got to be like you, God didn't make me like you. He made me an individual.
Right.
I'm going to be an individual.
Amen.
So whenever the boys come to me and say, oh, you chicken, I don't care. You know, I don't care. You can call me whatever you want to, but I ain't drinking that stuff. And then when we go out to a party one night, and they said, hey, Thurman, have a beer. No, I ain't drinking. I told y'all I ain't drinking that stuff. All the rest of them drinking. They go out there, and I go out there with them. One of the boys makes a nasty remark about somebody else's girlfriend, a guy from another town. First thing you know, those two guys are fighting. You know, they're clubbing each other out, you know. And, of course, in a little while, I'm standing back over watching this. I thought, you know, that's the stupidest thing I ever seen in my life. That boy don't even know that girl. You know, she was with him anyway. That other guy said, what's the big deal? And so we finally wind up, after they get through clubbing each other, we pick up our friend, put him in the car, take him to the town where we live, little tiny town, and we have to call the doctor out, and the doctor has to come down and sew him up. You know, and I thought, this is stupid. I told him, I said, you ain't too smart. You know, I said, it all happened because of your mouth and that beer. You know, so if you hadn't been drinking that junk, I said, you know, you'd had better sense.
Amen.
So let me tell you, I'm not intimidated by your stupidity. You know, if you want to try to make me stupid with you, forget it. I ain't going there. You know, so I don't care what anybody tells me. I don't care. But see, young people, you know, they're intimidated all the time by somebody else. And so they fall to, oh, I want to be one of the guys. Forget it. God made you an individual. Don't worry about being one of the guys. You know, be a girl or a guy that Jesus would be proud of. You know, I'd hold up rather the King be proud of me than I don't care what the rest of the boys said about me. I could care less. Amen. But I want Jesus to be proud of me. I don't care about the rest of them. But what kind of power did he give me when I became a Christian? He gave me all power. He gave me all the keys to the kingdom. He didn't just give me one key. He gave me all of them. Now I can do all these wonderful things if I want to. I have unlimited power to walk in the kingdom of God if I'll just be an obedient son. Now the devil will come and put you to the test every way he can to get you to fall to the things of the world. You know, he'll do it. He'll do everything. He'll do everything. But you got to remember who you are. Now we're going to go to Matthew 18, and we're going to read this again. He didn't just tell us once. Again, he said in Matthew 18, verse 18, "Verily or truly I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." There again, unlimited power. "Again I say unto you," boy, this is clear, isn't it? "That if two of you that are my children, Christians, walking in obedience to my word," because you've got to put this in the proper perspective. All through the scripture, God tells us over and over and over, if we obey him, he'll bless us. Is that what he says?
Amen.
There ain't never a time, not one time, God says, "If you sin, I'll do anything for you." Not good. He said, "If you sin, I'll curse you."
Amen.
Now, I don't like that. I don't like to be sick and afflicted and my finances be tore down and everything else. I don't like that. You know, I'd hold out rather be blessed.
Amen.
But he says here, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven."
Amen.
Now when I first got revelation on that scripture right there, Matthew 18:19, it's like that jumped off the page at me one day. The Lord was, I was becoming an obedient son. And he was going to start revealing to me his power.
Yes, sir.
Now, if I'd have been disobedient, I could have read right over that. And he said, no, I'm blinding your eyes. You ain't going to see that. I ain't going to share my power with you if you're out there drinking, smoking, running around with the wild girls, doing all these stupid things. I ain't going to do it. You know, so, and you can read the Bible. And how many times have you heard people say, "Well, I read it, but I don't understand it." Well, you need to get saved and
Amen.
Become obedient. You know, when you do, then you can read it and understand. It's not that difficult.
Amen.
You know, when you read it and understand it, you know. I mean, you can read it and understand it if you obey. If you don't obey, you can read the Bible all your life and never get nothing. And you won't never walk in his power. He will not give you the revelation and understanding that you will need. I'm going to tell you, I've had people in church that have memorized certain books of the Bible, but yet they don't know what it says. They have it memorized. I had a man come to my church one time, and I was teaching on a certain series. And when I started, he said, I got most of that book committed to memory. So he said, "I guess I don't even need to listen. I know that." And so he's sitting back there, and I got started in it. And he thought, what, that didn't say that. And he backed up, and he went back through, and he looked. He said, "It did say that." He had been quoting it all his time, but it had never become a revelation to him. He said, "By the time you was through that first day in that series you were going to teach, I went home and I had to relearn that whole book again, although I had it committed to memory. I didn't know it." Isn't that something? How you can have it committed to memory, but God had not opened his heart to the truth of what was written. Now, I wonder why that is. Because he was disobedient. Now, if you're obedient, he'll open this up to you. And when I saw that, "If two of you shall agree," I thought, wow, I mean, with that kind of power, I could pray for somebody or myself, or I could take my wife and I, we could agree in prayer on something, or my children and I, anything, or just another believer. I said, God, you give me unlimited power. I thought, I wonder why I never heard that taught in church. And the old devil said, you know, well, that's not what it means. And I thought, well, that's got to be true. You know, that couldn't mean that. So I thought, well, I better go ask somebody. You know, instead of just taking the Bible at face value. You know, I mean, you know, you can't do that, you know. You know, God, you know, he would never write something down just like he meant it. You know, you'd have to have a PhD to interpret it to you. I mean, so, you know, you got to have the Pharisees and Sadducees. He's a normal man. He's an idiot. He can't interpret the Scripture, you know. I mean, the Catholic organization told their people, don't read the Bible. You can't understand it. Now, why do you think they told them not to read it? Because they couldn't understand it. Because they couldn't understand it. They didn't know it either because they were disobedient. They didn't know what the Scripture says. You know, their eyes were all blinded to these things because they didn't walk in God's power either. So I'd go to my pastor. I said, Pastor, I got a real little revelation, I think. I said, God made me an awesome promise here. What do you think about Matthew 18:19? Oh, he said, well, Thurman, that's not what he means. I said, but that's what he said. He said, but that's not really what he means. You can't disagree on anything, only if it's God's will. So you have to always pray if it's his will. I said, well, okay, so I'm not too happy with that because I didn't read anywhere in there. He said, if it's according to my will. He just said, if two of you on earth agree, you know, he'll do it. And so I think, okay, so I'll wait till the guy from seminary comes over to preach for us sometime, you know, and then I'll corner him and I'll ask him. They know everything. Those PhDs in seminary, they got it, you know. I know they do because they're teaching this book all the time. And he gave me the same answer. And I thought to myself, you know, there's something wrong with this picture. I just finally said, I said, God, if you didn't mean what you say there, then why in the world did you write it down like that? Amen. Isn't that a good question, Ernest? I mean, good grief. I mean, after all, oh, I know what the deal is. He's not very smart. He's only God, right? Yeah, that. Okay, maybe that's the answer. No, I know that ain't the answer. So anyway, as I one day decide, hey, God, you said this, I believe it. Amen. Oh, now we find, amen. Jesus said, oh, son, we finally got somewhere. All right. Okay, that's what I meant. And so I used that and prayed the prayer of faith for somebody, and wow, it happened. And wow, you know, that's, I mean, I remember the first time that I prayed a prayer of faith with somebody and made that statement, and I told them what that we was going to pray for, and a couple, 3 or 4 days later, they called back and said, Thurman, the Lord answered that prayer. He did that, what you asked for. And I said, you don't mean it. Yeah. So, if some of you think I've always been that awesome man of faith and power, I'll just have to tell you the truth. You know, you know what the Lord say? First, you got the little seed you plant in the ground. And, of course, tomorrow you got a full-grown stalk, right? No, you don't have a full-grown stalk. When you plant a seed in the ground, in tomorrow you come and look, and what do you got? Nothing. You know, nothing. And you look next day and next day. And finally, after a few days, you find a little bitty tiny green thing coming out of the ground. It ain't very big, is it, Ernest? Just barely breaks through the surface. And then you keep watering that thing, fertilizing that thing, and the sun keeps shining, and it gets a little bigger, a little bigger, a little bigger, a little bigger. And one day, finally, you got this big old tall stalk of corn here, man. This thing's awesome. But there ain't no ears on it yet. You know? And then all of a sudden, you see these little things start coming out. And they're just little bitty things. And then over a period of time, one day finally you go out there and there's a great big old nice, ooh. Well, now see, that's the way it is with the Word. It has to be nurtured and watered and fertilized. So if you think you're going to step into this world of faith overnight, forget it. It ain't going to happen. All I got to say, that little plant grows up in a matter of months. But your faith to get where you want, if you want to go there, it ain't going to happen overnight. Now see, God is going to find out what you're made out of. He's going to put you to the test. You know, how many people do I know that went into schools of higher learning somewhere and they had trouble with high school? They didn't like high school either. And so they get out of high school, and her mother finally talks them into going to college, and they spend one semester in college and say, "This is too tough. I ain't going to work here. I'm going to give up. I'm going to quit." Well, then you find out one day, here's the guy down here this guy's working. 10 years later, you run into a guy, and he's got a good job. And you say, "Hey, I want to be like you. What'd you do?" "Oh, well, I mean, I went to school. I studied. I learned. And so now then I can do these things, and this company's willing to pay me this good money to do all these things." "Well, I want your job too." I said, "Well, sure, you can have it, but you got to be able to do what I can do." It's just like one day I was sitting there at my desk on the phone, and one of my lead truck mechanics was there in the room with me, and he was on the phone talking to somebody, ordering some parts or something, and the VP walked in. The VP walked in, and he's kind of talking with him about some stuff, and the man's name was Henry Taylor, the VP. And this man that was sitting there, he said, "Mr. Taylor, when are you going to promote me into Thurman's job?" He stood there a minute, and he said, "Well, Bo, do you think you can do what Thurman does?" He said, "Sure, all he does is talk on the phone." He said, "I'm good at talking on the phone." Henry looked around, he said, "Yeah." But he said, "Well, then people call. Thurman's got the answers." Amen. He said, "Then people call won't answer." He said, "He's got them. That's why he's there. That's why he gets paid the big bucks. Because he has the answers." Now, see, I didn't learn those answers overnight. You know that, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, you didn't start out as a project manager overnight, did you, Keith?
No.
It took years of learning. And now when they call, you got the answers. And that's why you keep doing what you're doing.
Amen.
That's why they pay you the big bucks, you know, because you have the answers. Now, 30, 40 years ago, or when you was a 20-year-old kid, you didn't have them answers. And so you didn't get them big bucks. But you wanted them, but you didn't get them. And so you have to go. Well, God is no different. He'll raise you up, and he'll put you in this book, and you'll start studying. He'll give you a little morsel, one little bite right there, verse 19. And then he says, "Son, I mean that. I really mean it. I've given you the keys of the kingdom now. If you'll just, you're obedient son, you're doing what I want you to do. So if you'll just pray that prayer of faith for somebody, I'll do something wonderful for you." And so when you listen to that and you think, you know, reckon he really would? And you pray that prayer of faith and it really happens. And then, of course, that great man of faith and power. Wow, you really mean God did that? But what does that do? That's that little tiny shoot coming out of the ground.
Amen.
You're learning. And everybody's got to start there.
Amen.
There ain't nobody going to start at the top. You don't start up there. You can't make it at the top. And God ain't going to let you be at the top. Because if you tried to start at the top, you'd fall. That fall from the top to the ground would be a long one. And it would be hard when you hit the ground.
Yes,
sir. So you ain't going there. He ain't going to let you. But this verse 19, he gives something awesome. And in verse 20, let's see what verse 20 says. "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." So when two or three of you are gathered together in his name, where is the king? He says, "I'm listening." Just like I told Phil and Krista this morning, was in there this morning praising the king, talking about him, loving him, worshiping him as they're trying to work and everything. And I said, "Just think, kids, the king standing right here because we're in his name. There's three of us in this room."
Amen.
Don't we hope he's pleased with us?
Yes,
sir. Yes. We hope he's walking among us and say, "Oh, my son, I love you. Praise the Lord. I love what you're doing." Patting you on the back. Is that what we want to hear, Keith?
Amen.
Amen. That's what we want to hear. Now then, let's go to Romans 10, start with verse 8. And we're going to go all the way through verse 21, Romans 10. Well, let's look at the keys of the kingdom. Let's look about this. "But what saith it? The word is near thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you should be saved." So, how do you make the keys of the kingdom work? With your mouth.
Amen.
Your tongue.
Amen.
When this lady told me a while ago that she'd listened to that tongue 300 times. 300 times. 13 months, I believe she listened to it every day, over and over. And she says, every time I listen to it, I learn something. That's God's word, isn't it? Yeah. I told her, I said, you know, you may not believe this, but every once in a while, I listen to it myself. And you know what? I catch myself listening to this tape, forgetting that I made it. And I think, man, that's good stuff. Wonder who made that? Oh, I did that. No, the Jesus did that.
Amen.
Not me. It's the Lord. It's His Word. That's why it's good. I'm feeding on it, even though I was the one that had the privilege to put it on tape. Still, I need to put it back in me because it gets away from you.
Amen.
The Word will get away if you don't keep putting it in there. So, I understand. I have listened to many of my tapes over and over and over because it's the Word. That's amazing. You know that? I enjoy listening to the Word even though I'm the one who spoke it.
Amen.
But you forget you're the one doing it. You get engrossed and involved in the Word. That's a Word. You don't even care who's talking. You just say, wow, that's what the Word says.
Amen.
Well,
Amen.
What does it say? The Word is near you, the Word of faith which we preach, that if we will confess. Now, this is the first key to the kingdom. The greatest key. This is the biggest key. If you don't find this key, you won't never find none of the rest of them. But when you take that key and you turn that key by faith and say, Jesus is my Lord, something miraculous takes place in the spirit world. The King sets you free. I mean, He moves into your heart. And everything in your life is going to change.
Amen.
You're not going to be the same person. Now, a lot of people walk down an aisle and say, I believe in Jesus. And they go out and they didn't believe it by faith. They just spoke it. It wasn't real to them. And so they go out and maybe they come back to church again. Maybe they come back for 4 or 5 months. And then somebody walks up to them and say, Deborah, what are you going to church for? Well, I like going to church. Nah, only sissies go to church. Come on, let's go run around Sunday. Let's go do something. You know, and they start, when you're a young woman, especially, you know, when you're real slummy. When I'm talking about young, when I'm talking about when you're 16 or 18, you're 25, see. But if you don't know who you are and learn who you are in Christ, you can be swayed by the demons of hell in people easily. I don't care whether you're man or woman. You know, how many women do I know, have I ministered to in my life that fell in love with some guy and he told them they loved him. And he tried and tried to have sex with them and they wouldn't. And then finally, he kept on, if you really love me, well, you know we're going to get married in 6 months. You love me, you let me. And they finally yield to him. And after they do, the guy says, I don't want you anymore.
Amen.
Throw you away.
Amen.
If you'll yield to me, you'll yield to somebody else. Amen. And I don't want a woman that'll yield even to me. She's going to marry me. Because if you'll yield to me, when I'm out of town, she might yield to somebody else.
Right.
I don't want you. And throw you away.
Amen.
You know that?
Yes, sir.
That's exactly the way a boy thinks.
Yes.
But if he loves that girl, and that girl loves him, and she says, no, you ain't touching me until I'm married. And if he stands firm, and she stands firm on that, and that day when they get married, then after that he says, I don't have to worry about my wife.
Right.
She wouldn't even let me
Amen.
Touch her. And she loved me with all her heart. She loved me enough to marry me. But even me, she wouldn't let me touch her. So I know I have no fear. When I go out of town on a business, I can leave her at home and I know there ain't nobody going to get to her. I know she's a woman of integrity. And let me tell you, girls, there ain't many of them left out there today. But boys, too. There ain't many boys out there of integrity. They don't know the word. They don't know the word. So they just do whatever the flesh wants them to do. But your confession, the power of your tongue, is so powerful. Now let's go to the next two verses. For with the heart man believes, not with the brain, but with the spirit, the heart. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him shall not be ashamed. Now, if you know Jesus and you're ashamed to talk about Him, you never met Him.
Amen.
You never met Him. If you know Him, you will not be ashamed of the King. I mean, you'll talk about Him. So when you're a young person, you know, and you're in school, and you go to church. Somebody said, well, let's go out and have a wild party Saturday night. So, no, I go to church on Sunday.
Amen.
What? You go to church on Sunday? You stupid kid. Why don't you go have some fun? I have fun. I'm a Christian.
Amen.
That takes a real young man or young woman to not be ashamed of their King.
Amen.
I mean, you got, if you want Jesus to do something for you, you got to put Him first.
Amen.
And I remember I did that when I was a young man. I didn't realize the impact it was having on people around me. But years later, I had a boy I went to school with. By this time, I must have been 50. I hadn't even thought about this kid in 30 years. But he called me. He said, Thurman, when's the next time you're going to be in Goldthwaite? I said, I don't know. I said, probably going to be at least another month or so before I come down there. He said, when you come, I want you to call me. I said, okay. I said, I'll be happy to. So what do you need? He said, I can't talk to you on the phone. I want to talk to you personal. Okay. So about a month or whatever it was, I called him and said, I'm going home this weekend. I said, if you want to come out to Mom and Dad's house, I'll be happy to talk with you. Hadn't seen him in 30 years. He came out there and immediately he said, you want to come in the house? He said, no. He said, can we get in the car and just drive out in the pasture? I said, okay. So we got in the pickup and drove out in the pasture. I said, what can I do for you? He said, Thurman, I'm an alcoholic. And he said, my son's an alcoholic. He said, you were the only boy in high school that wouldn't drink with us. He said, you were always talking about Jesus. He said, I need to know Him. And I know you can tell me how to find Him. I led that boy to Christ.
Amen.
Now see, he knew. He remembered. When he used to look me right in the face and say, oh, why don't you go out and have a drink with us? You know, made fun of me. But see, he remembered. The Holy Spirit convicted him. You want to know the King? You find the one that wasn't ashamed of Him. You never have any idea what that did to me that day. How that affected my life. When I went over and I said, Lord, and you tell me to be holy and you can use me as an instrument. You can use me as a vessel of honor for your glory when there's a need. I said, Lord, thank you for making me a vessel of honor that can be used for your glory. I want to be used by the King. I don't care if I'm never used by the world. You know, I want to be used by the King. You know, the world, wow. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the Scripture says, whosoever, that's any of us, believes on Him shall not be ashamed. So if you're not ashamed of the King, you know how many times you've been around Christians, you start talking about Jesus, and they say, hey, we don't talk about Jesus here. Two things we don't talk about, politics and religion. I thought you was a Christian. I am. You go to church? Well, some. But I don't want to talk about religion. I said, you need to get saved.
Amen.
You don't know my Jesus. I've had lots of people tell me that. I had a guy one time. He said, you know, I am not going to be around you if you're going to talk about Jesus. I said, then you might as well leave. Because if you're around me, I'm going to talk about my King. I don't know nothing else to talk about. I'm going to talk about Jesus. And if you're here, you're going to hear it. And so, you can't intimidate me. You can't tell me I'm going to do something to you. I said, no, you ain't. You ain't touching me. You know, I said, your freedom ends 1 inch from my nose. And if you start to touch me, I'll call an angel and I'll have him put you on the floor. And I said, you're going to wish that I didn't tell God. You're going to beg God to turn you loose when I turn Him loose on you. Well, see, I'm protected by angels. I've got angels all around me, you know, that protect me. You know, they walk with me. You know, they're all around. But you have the same thing if you're walking in obedience to God's Word. He's given you the keys to the kingdom. Then let's go to the next couple of verses, Dave. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Now, isn't this something? There's not any difference. So Jew and the Greek are, I don't care if you're red, yellow, black, or white. Makes no difference, does it, to God? There's no difference. He goes here and says, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him.
Amen.
So I don't care who you are, man, woman, boy, girl, you know, red, yellow, black, or white, anybody that calls on the name of Jesus, he made you, he loves you, and he will save you if you call upon him in faith. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Now you got to call upon him in faith, though.
Amen.
Oh, God, I sure do need something here. I hope you'll save me. It's totally in his hands there, but I sure, you know, I wouldn't put much faith in that, you know, that you're saved. I mean, of course, I realize God is very merciful and he understands every person. And I can't. But the more I can teach you about him, when you accept Jesus, you ought to come to him boldly and say, Lord, I've been a sinner. I've been a wicked critter. You know, I've missed the mark every way in the world. But Lord, I see in your word where you said that if I repent, you'll save me. So, Lord, I believe that. So I'm repenting, and I'm asking you to save me. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Now, Lord, thank you for saving me. It's done. Praise God. That really turns the king on.
Amen.
You know, he loves that when you come to him like that. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And, of course, that word is the word sozo. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall also be healed, made whole, delivered. You know, it's yours. If you obey him and do what he says, he'll not only save you, he'll heal you, he'll deliver you, he'll do everything. He is everything. All those are keys of the kingdom. But why did I walk in sickness and disease from the time I was 11 till I was about 35 or 40, whatever it was? Because that key of healing I didn't know was mine. So when I asked the king that night, Lord, if this is all true and you also healed me on the cross 2,000 years ago, then why have I been sick so many times since I accepted you as my Lord and Savior? And he told me, just as clear as a bell, he spoke to me. He said, son, I am a faith God. Without faith, it's impossible to please me. And you've never received me as your healer by faith in my word. So I received the king that night as my healer, just like I did my Savior when I was 11. Now, way on up there, many years later, I received him as my healer by faith in his word. And praise God, never been sick no more.
Amen.
You know, that's not bad. You know, 25 years, no sickness. I love it.
Amen.
I love it. People all around me get sick, you know, but you know, I don't get sick. And it's all because of what Jesus
Amen.
Done. Now, I ain't taking no glory for this.
Amen.
It's all him.
Amen.
That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, there won't be times you won't have trials and tests. You know, I've missed several opportunities to be sick. Now, you don't may not understand where I'm coming from. You wake up some morning, you got a splitting headache.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil's sitting there saying, you feel that headache? You feel that? Yes, I feel that. He said, don't you think you need an Anacin or something?
That's right.
No.
Something?
Jesus bore my pain.
Amen.
Devil, you have no power over me. In the name of Jesus, get out. Your husband talking about headaches. Has he had one since he left here? Now just think. Here is Lisa's husband, Bruce. He's going to be here tomorrow, isn't he?
He's on his way down.
That's what he says. He's on his way down. He's coming back to live here. And Bruce, he came down, I don't know, 3 weeks ago or something like that, to spend a weekend with his wife. And when he got here on Thursday, he was hurting so bad with a migraine headache, he had to go to bed. And so Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, he was in bed with excruciating headache pain so bad he couldn't get up and do nothing. And so she called me Sunday. She said, Pastor, I wanted to bring my husband to church today, but he can't come. He's hurting. I said, how long has he had them headaches? She said, all his life. For the last 20 or so years, he's taken 10, 15, 20 BC powders a day to try to exist. I said, it's a demon. I said, I'm going to cast that devil out of him in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, she's at home with him, and I'm here. Over the telephone, I command those demons. I break the curse over him. Command them demons of curse to leave him. I said, now, I guarantee he's healed in the name of Jesus. I said, bring him to church. But she got to church, and after church, she said, Pastor, I hate to tell you this, but after you prayed for him, he got worse. I said, what do you mean? She said, he started throwing up. I said, he didn't get worse. He's throwing up him demons.
Amen.
I said, they're coming out. I commanded them to leave. At 3:10, the last demon came out, and Bruce's headache was gone, and he had a headache since.
Amen. I repent. He did call me last night. He said, he's on his way. He was in Virginia. He said, I got to stop. He said, I can't take it. This is my first headache. It's come back.
First one. Okay. Okay, so it's been 3 weeks and he hadn't had one, but now one's coming back.
You know what to do now, though, right? He said, yeah, I got to go. I know what to do.
Okay.
He called me this morning and he said, I'm fine. I'm happy. How's the most beautiful woman in Texas? I said, that's my man. I went in the bathroom and kicked them devils out.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. See, now these devils will try to come back. But that's just what I was just telling him. When I walked over and slapped Ernest in the back of the head, see? I said, that devil will put that pain in your head. Say, don't you feel that headache? And yeah, I feel that beast. Well, don't you think you need a headache powder? No, that's a demon of hell, and I ain't letting you come in. In the name of Jesus, I'm kicking you out. And see, every once in a while, he'll put you to the test. But see, these are the keys of the kingdom. Now, whatever you confess with that mouth, if you believe with your heart, you'll have it. So, when that devil hits you in the head with that headache, and he put that thought in your mind, Ernest, don't you feel that headache? I feel that thing. Well, don't you think you need some headache powder? Oh, I'll tell you what, Ernest, I really believe you. Don't you think you're coming down with a brain tumor?
Wow.
And you say, no, I don't think I... Oh, and it hurts so... But feel that in there. Don't you know? And your mouth is saying, oh, man, maybe I am having a brain tumor.
Wow.
Hey... You just said the wrong thing. You just opened the door.
Amen.
The devil says, oh, now then, he's agreeing with me. So now I'm going to put it on him. But see, you don't go there. See, your tongue, when I say your tongue, it's either your best friend or your worst enemy. Now, I will not deny the fact that the devil can really put pain on you. He can make you hurt. You know, just like he did Bruce. 3 weeks now, Bruce had been free. But he had one, and he didn't yield to it. He took authority over it, and you notice what he said. How's that beautiful woman of mine in Texas? And she said, that's my man. He said the right thing. Now, see, Bruce is learning how to love his wife, see? And that's another thing. And as he learns to love her like Christ loves the church, which he hadn't known how to do up until now.
Amen.
He has not known how to do that. But as he's learning that, he's going to make her happy, and he's going to be able to walk without headaches.
Amen.
You know, when you walk in sin, you open a door to that devil. And he's going to come in, and that invisible kingdom that we're fighting against, you have power over this invisible kingdom with your mouth and faith in what you say. You don't realize the power in your tongue. You know, when you ask people, the average person you go to church, just like one day I was asked to come down to Goldthwaite to speak as an interim pastor 2 Sundays. That's before I had my own church. And... they called me and wanted to know if I'd preach down there for them. Said, we run out, our pastor's left, and a little Baptist church. And I said, sure, I'll be happy to come down there. Because I knew several people down there, you know. So I went down there, and that Sunday morning I walked into the little church, probably only 50, 75 people. I walked into that little church, and it's just a beautiful, precious daughter of the King, probably 75 years old. This is about 10 years ago at least, 10 or 12 years ago. And I said, good morning, ma'am. She was just running around doing all kinds of things, getting the church ready. And I said, good morning, ma'am. She said, oh, are you the pastor? I said, yes, ma'am. I've come down to speak for y'all today. Oh, she said, great. I said, how are you doing? Well, she said, I'm doing pretty good, but my arthritis is bothering me this morning. Yeah, see? I said, what do you mean, my arthritis? Well, she said, Thurman, I have arthritis. I said, you didn't know that Jesus bore your sickness and removed your disease? She said, he did what? I said, let me turn to this wonderful scripture in Matthew 8:17. Dave, would you flip over there for me right quick? We'll come back here. Matthew 8:17. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through Isaiah, who said, he took our sickness and removed our disease. I said, you didn't know that? Well, most Christians don't know that. And then you back up to verse 13 and look what Jesus told the centurion when he got through saying, then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go on home. What you have believed has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. What you have believed. So you believe you got arthritis? Guess what?
You got arthritis.
Oh, yeah, the devil was there to oblige you to put a little pain in your hands and everything. And then he put this little thought in our mind. What do you think that pain is? Arthritis? Well, you know, I'm getting 60 years old or whatever. I guess maybe it could be arthritis. Yeah. Don't you know that all comes upon everybody that gets 60 years old? So you got it? Okay, so how are you feeling this morning? Well, I'm doing pretty good, but my arthritis is bothering me. I mean, she's with her tongue, she's killing herself. Has no idea what she's doing. But the power of the children of the kingdom, God give us that power as His children, whether we speak negative or positive, it's going to work. And you don't know it. She didn't know about the keys of the kingdom. She didn't know none of that stuff. I told her, I said, ma'am, if I was you, I believe I'd give that back to the devil after what Jesus said in Matthew 8:17. If Jesus bore my sickness and took away my disease, I believe that I'd believe Him instead of the devil.
Amen.
Why don't you just rebuke Him? And she said, she looked at that again. She said, how is that? I read my Bible all the time. How come I've never seen that? I said, well, I don't know. I read it a lot of times too before I got it too. But I said, I finally got it. You know, so I said, now that I got it, it's burned in.
Amen.
And I said, so why don't you just repent and tell the Lord you're sorry that you didn't know that, and let's kick this devil out of you. And she said, well, let's do it. Now, for a Baptist woman in a Baptist church, this ain't bad, you know. I mean, you know, man. So anyway, the next Sunday I come down and same woman's there getting ready, you know, to, I was going to be there two Sundays if folks had a new pastor coming in 3 weeks. I walked in the next Sunday, and I said, praise God, how you doing? She said, man, I'm doing good. I said, how's your arthritis? She said, well, I give that to the devil. You know, I said, it ain't bothered me all week.
Amen.
She said, you know, I ain't never heard anything like this before in my life. And, of course, they're what, 75 or 80 years old. You know, she said, I never heard anything about this faith stuff. But she said, man, this is awesome.
Amen.
Well, after all, God put it in the book.
Amen.
I think we ought to believe it, don't you?
Yes, sir.
So anyway, then Jesus said unto the Roman, go on home, what you have believed has happened. So if you believe the wrong thing, guess what's going to happen? What you believe has happened. Good or bad?
Amen.
So your tongue. Let's go back now to where we were in Romans. Let's go to the next couple of verses. Let's go on down. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody's got to be a preacher. Technically today, as disciples of Christ, who are the preachers? All of us. Every one of us has been made a disciple to go out. You and I are the body of Christ. And you're not to leave this job up to the man that stands up here that preaches or teaches you in the church. You are to take what he teaches you from this, about this kingdom, to take it out and do great things for the kingdom of God. We ought to all be bringing people into the kingdom. We ought to all be laying hands on the sick. We ought to all be casting out devils. And a good place to start is in our own house. You know, so many of us are sick and afflicted. We ought to just say, hey, devil. I'm repenting of my sins. I didn't know these things. And if you didn't know that, it was a sin. You were living in sin because you didn't know these promises. So you say, Lord, I repent. You know, I'm going to be a true disciple of yours. Now then all these devils of hell in my house has got to go away. You know, I mean, when we was in California last time, a few days later, after we got back, maybe 2 or 3 weeks later, whatever it was, I got a message from a school teacher. And he said, you know, I'd never heard anything like you taught about the power we have in the kingdom. But he said, you know, I'm a school teacher. And he said, I have a class of children, boys mostly. And he said, they're unteachable, I thought. He said, they're very active. They won't be quiet, all kinds of things. And he said, you know, I got to thinking after you left, I thought, you know, this has got to be demons. So he said, I walked into my classroom, prayed over the classroom, told the devil, I said, when you get to that door and them kids, you're going to stay at the door. You ain't coming in this classroom. These children's going to come in here. I'm going to teach them by the power of God. And he said, Thurman, them boys, when they walked in that door, they became new boys. Said one of them, which was absolutely couldn't learn nothing. He said, that boy's learning. He said, in the last 2 weeks, everything in that school has changed because I learned to take authority over the devils, which I'd had authority over forever. Didn't know it. But he said, I kicked them out, and now I'm asking the Lord to send the Holy Spirit to anoint these little boys with power and authority and give them knowledge and wisdom and understanding, just like you taught me, it's written in the book.
Amen.
And he said, as I'm doing that, God is doing it, and these children are learning. He said, my whole classroom has changed. Now, how much power do we have as disciples of Christ?
Oh.
Hey, so what is it we don't understand about all? If I've been given all power by the King, I ain't letting that devil run over me. Are you earnest? No, he ain't going to do it. I'm not going to let him. Now then, he says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Hey, so that should be your feet. And bring glad tidings of good things. We're not to be children of the world. We're to be children of the kingdom.
Amen.
We've been given the keys. That's just like here a while back, I pulled out one of these key rings like this. I have many of these. I have a few things. This is one key ring. I pulled that out, and I was getting the key off there to do something. And a little boy walked up to me, and he said, Mr. Scrivener, you must have a lot of houses. You sure have lots of keys. Yeah, that's only one key ring. You know, I've got key rings that's got all kinds of stuff on them. I carry keys to almost everything I own every day. Isn't it amazing? You have to live in a place where you have to lock everything. But just on this, for this church right here, I bought the kind of locks for that every one of the four doors so far has got locks. All of them take the same key. Because that's why I only have to have four. I only got to have one. You know. But everything's not like that. You know, when you got cars and trucks, you know, and all the stuff we have, it takes keys to keep them locked up. You have to. So, as you know. But that's just one little package of keys. And what can I do with those keys? I have access to wonderful things that can do great things for me. But these keys are nothing compared to the keys to the kingdom. The keys to the kingdom, I've been given power over the devil. I can do great things. And he tells me to go out and preach the gospel and tell people about this great thing that he's done. Now let's see what he says in 16 and 17. But they have not obeyed the gospel. Now, when you preach it to people, are they all going to hear? No, they ain't going to hear. They don't want to hear. You know, at least some of the people that you and I will preach to will hear. But I think about poor old Noah. He preached the gospel for 120 years with zero converts. He told them, folks, you need to repent. There's going to be a flood come up on the earth. There's going to be water fall out of the sky that's going to flood the earth. You're a fool. There's never been no water fall out of the sky ever. Did you know until then it never rained? Never rained. Yeah, God brought the water up from the earth, you know, from the ground and watered everything. Boy, what a beautiful garden. Can you imagine a beautiful blue sky every day with never no rain or storms? Wouldn't that be awesome? Boy, for a pilot, that'd be awesome. We fly, wouldn't even need to get an instrument rating. Oh, praise God. You know, we could just go out there and fly around that beautiful blue sky all the time. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For as I said, Lord, who has believed our report? Well, let me tell you, it's shame. Not very many. When Isaiah said that, who has believed our report? It's amazing how many people in the church was just like I was. I didn't even believe the report God gave me from His Word. But most Christians, if you don't believe, they won't receive your report. You go and speak like I was asked to 3,000 people at Big Sandy and talk about God's power. If you haven't heard the CD, God's Power, How many here have never heard the CD, God's Power? Well, not very many. Not very many of you. Well, if you haven't heard it, you need to get it and listen to it. It's a very good one. In fact, I got tickled at Jenny, my little daughter over here. She just got back from Israel. She went to Israel, and she took a stack of those with her when she left. And she said, I think she said the guy was a doctor, a PhD or something, that was rooming with her dad. And he didn't believe that God was a healer. And whenever she heard that, she run in there and she said, I have God's power in my back pocket. Let me give you some of it. And she had God's power in her back pocket. Well, she don't want to have God's power in her back pocket. She has it all over her. You know, and she's learning that. But she was going to give that PhD. If you don't believe God's a healer, let me give you a CD that talks about God's power and His healing power. And if that guy listens to that and he don't believe, his wood's wet. Right, Jenny? I mean, that's a powerful CD. But I spoke that one little message down at Big Sandy before 3,000 people. And God, there's no telling how many people He healed that day. There's no telling how many miracles God did that very day. And for 6 months, at least 6 months, maybe longer after that, Bill Gothard, every time he called me, he said, Thurman, I'm still getting praise reports that happened when you spoke that morning at Big Sandy. But guess what? They threw me out. They threw me out. I mean, after that, and then one more session the next day after that, I was removed from the Bill Gothard conferences. I was not allowed to speak at another one. And those later, maybe 6 months or 8 months after that, one of the men that his wife was sick that works for Bill Gothard down there at Big Sandy, he came to Dallas to get her healed. And he told me, he said, you know, within a week after you spoke, I was told to remove your two CDs from that package. And they were never to be sold or given away or nothing. And so he said, everybody spoke at Big Sandy's in that conference but you. He said, they order that conference, they get every speaker but you. They don't get yours. I said, that's no problem. I don't want to sell mine anyway. I've got both of them. I got the original. So I said, I give them to anybody that wants them. I have had people call. And I think the largest order we ever had for that at one time was, how many? 2,000. Wow. One church wanted 2,000 of that one CD. Isn't that amazing? Lots of times they want 200, 300, 400, 500 of them. It's a powerful CD. It'll change your life. God's in that CD, isn't He, Elder? He's in there. He'll change your life. But He's given us this power. But who has believed this report of the gospel? Not very many of us. Now, that's unfortunate because we don't believe it. But who has believed it? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So how are you going to get this kind of faith? Hearing. Oh, you read it one time, you got it. No, not hardly. I read it over and over and over and over for years and years and years and years. Now, maybe I was a little slow. I don't know. But I don't think so. I don't think that I'm slow. I really think that I'm as normal as anybody. You know, I believe, my wife says, normal?
You're not normal.
Oh, I'm not normal. Praise the King. I'm a son of God, a joint heir with the King. I don't want to be normal. Do you? He don't want to be normal either, right? Praise God. We don't want to be normal. We want to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. We don't want nobody to call us normal. We want to say, wow, amen. Look at that extrovert there. Wow, he's something else, amen. You know. Praise God. You know, we don't want to be an introvert. Somebody comes to me and I say, what's your problem? Well, you know, I'm depressed. I'm having a problem. I said, well, get over it. You're supposed to be a son of God or a daughter of God. Get you something back here and find out who you are. Amen. Get something and listen to that, your authority. In the name of Jesus, you know, your believer's authority. I said, get some of those, who you are in Christ, get those things and listen to them over and over and over every day until God can take those scriptures, get them in your spirit. And then when that devil comes to you and says, you're a nobody. You tell him, you lying devil, you get out. I'm a son of God. Come on, you're sick. You have to be sick. No, I ain't going to be sick. I'm a son of God. Be like Emily Dawson was. Whenever that devil come up on her and she had already had 13 surgeries and she's 53 years old and now she's got lupus and she's dying. And some little pastor like me, wasn't me, But some little guy come in and told her, Miss Emily, she's a good Southern Baptist. But said, you don't have to die. She said, what? He said, Jesus already bore your sickness, removed your disease.
Amen.
He did? I didn't know that. And he also gave you all power over the devil. I didn't know that. So he showed her all this stuff and she began to get it. She began to read all this stuff and she thought, wow. So then one of her friends would come by and say, Miss Emily, how are you doing? She said, praise God, I'm healed by the power of God. And she said, my little Baptist friends would go away and said, poor little Miss Emily. Her mind's gone now. She's sick. And she said, when that devil would tell me, he put that pain on me and twist my insides, make me hurt so bad. She said, I'd get up out of that bed, stand on the floor, and I'd say, you devil of hell, I may not be very strong yet, but I'm driving you out in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And that woman got well. And that was when she was 53 years old. When she come to this church and preached, she was 75. Now then, we started that day about 2, and she finally quit at 10 that night. You know what Cheryl said about her? She said, Miss Emily, I want to be just like you when I grow up. When I get to be full grown in Christ, I want to be just like you, girl.
Amen.
And I see that should be the desire of every woman.
Amen.
You ought to have somebody that's a woman of God that you want to be just like them when you get like that bigger. And there ought to be every man, every young boy, his dream should be to be just like a man that's mature and walking in the power of God. I want to be like that man. I don't want to be a football player. I don't want to be a drunk. I don't want to be a druggie. I don't want to be, no, I want to walk like him.
Amen.
That should be their examples. We should be their examples, every one of us.
Amen.
And that's what we need to be, because we're supposed to be children of the Most High God. So if then faith comes by hearing, it comes by hearing by the Word of God. So somebody, you know, say, well, I want to be a great man of faith. Will you pray for me that I can be a great man of faith? No. Get in the Word. Faith comes by hearing.
Amen.
Well, how much time do I have to spend? Well, 2 or 3 hours a day would be a good start.
Amen.
2 or 3 hours a day? Well, that's just a start. I mean, if you do that for about 10 years, you know, he might do something for you. Well, I ain't got time for that. Okay. Then just stay in the Word if you want to. God ain't going to give you nothing without, you know, working at it. It's just like I give you the example a while ago. Some guy goes to school the first semester and he goes, oh, that's too hard. I'm going to drop out. The other guy, he struggles and spends the midnight oil and works and makes good grades and everything. And then when it's over 4 years later, or 5 or 6, whatever it takes him, he gets out and goes down there to find him a good job. And, hey, you made good grades in school. Yeah, I worked hard. Well, we put you to work. And, man, you did good. And every time the raises come along, they give you the maximum. And then one day you're all up there and you got a good job and, you know, good family and a nice car and a nice home and all this stuff. And you're serving the Lord. And the guy, he's out there drinking, running around the bars, and he can't make it. I wish I could have what you got. You could have had, you know, but you didn't do it the way God says. You were lazy. You were not willing to apply yourself. You know, nothing comes accidentally.
Amen.
Nothing. You got to work at it.
Amen.
So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Verse 18 and 19. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. Now that's you and me he's talking about. Praise God. And by a foolish nation, I will anger you. Well, you know, all the people that are without God, we're about as stupid as you can get, you know? So, you know, today we're really stupid in America. You know, we think we're something, and we are becoming the most foolish nation. Wow. I told somebody the other night, we were sitting there over dinner talking. I said, you know, somebody said something about fixing something to keep somebody from tearing up something. And I said, you know, that's where I lived most of my life. As an engineer, I spent most of my life designing equipment to protect the idiot. I said, all we had to do is train them. And I kept telling my corporate headquarters, all we need to do is train people to do things. In fact, I remember one day I came in from Houston, and we were taxiing in the airplane. Of course, I'm back in the back. And I looked over, and there is a Braniff 747 sitting at the gate with one of our big 20-foot high-lift catering trucks had been raised all the way up, and there was some real severe thunderstorms in the area. And the boy had never used a 20-foot truck, and he didn't put the stabilizer down, so that truck, loaded with equipment, blew over on the back of the wing of a 747. I just went on home. I thought, the Braniff guys, the engineers, they will take care of this. But I went in early the next morning. When I walked in the next morning, real early, the VP was already there. I walked in, I said, good morning. He said, Thurman, can you make that 20-foot truck where it will not go up unless those stabilizers are down and locked? I said, Mr. Tyler, with what I know about electronics and hydraulic control circuit, I can make that truck do anything you want it to do. All I need is a little time and money. He said, money is no object. Last night, we spent $1 million+. But he said, time you don't have. I want it done now. I said, okay. So I started to work on it and come up with all the switches and control valves and everything I needed. And I was down there installing it myself on a big 20-foot truck. And he walked in. He said, just happened to think about something. He said, how are you coming? I said, well, I've got it all figured out, got all my drawings done, and now I've bought the equipment. I'm installing on his first truck. We're going to check it out. He says, some of the outstations, we don't have room to put the stabilizer down on a small airplane. So he said, we've got to be able to raise it up a ways without the stabilizer down. I said, well, how high? He said, well, about 10 foot. I said, okay. Is that where you want it, 10 foot? He said, yeah. That'll more than clear the door of a DC-9 or whatever it was he was talking about. I said, so you want it to go 10 foot, and then if the stabilizers are not down, then you want it to stop right there. He said, that's right. I said, okay. So I did it, designed it, built it, put it on there. And today, I guess every catering truck in the world has that system on it. By every airline, every company that manufactures that, that system's on that truck. I designed and built that thing. And it wasn't no big deal. But all they had to do was train the people. They wouldn't have needed that. But you know what happened that day? The people are not very dependable. And so the boy that was supposed to have catered that flight that day, he didn't come in. He didn't show up. And so they got another young boy out there that had never catered a big airplane. And he was through with his. He was used to driving the little trucks. Well, don't have stabilizers. So they grabbed him and said, go cater that 747. He said, I ain't never catered a 747. They said, just like catering all the rest of them, just go do it. And so he tried. He got in, went out there. The lift truck don't have a stabilizer, so he didn't know. You know, so he raised the box up. Now then, I'd hate to have been him, because he's in the box, raising this big 20-foot box up, looking right at the airplane through the door. And as he's raising it up, all of a sudden it gets just about ready to level with the door. Now, that's almost 20 feet off the ground. And this big thunderstorm comes through, these big gusts of wind, hits the side of that truck, and this big truck starts falling over with him in it. And he falls right over on top of the wing of that airplane, and it stops. And, of course, he slams on the wall of the truck, but thank goodness he didn't get hurt. But we did spend $1 million that night. $1 million. $1 million+. And, of course, it didn't cost us $1 million to put that thing on every truck we had in the whole United States. I personally oversaw that system. The VP told me, said, I don't care what it cost me. He said, this cannot be wrong. Now that you've built and designed this thing, you are to go to every station we have, and you're to make sure those men put those things on perfect on every truck, and you are to personally check it out. And if you've told me it's working, then I have no fear that I know it's going to work. And that's what I did for the next 2 or 3 months. I went everywhere in our whole region, in the whole United States, and oversaw this system put on these trucks, when really all they had to do was train the people. But you can't depend on people. So you have to put something on it that makes it what I used to call idiot-proof. You know what I mean, right, Keith?
Oh, yeah.
You're in this world. You know what I mean, too, right? So anyway, that's the way it is. People don't know. And Lord, forgive me for calling them idiots, you know, because they just don't know. They could be as smart as anybody else if they were trained, you know. But if you're not trained, you couldn't do it either. You know, if I took you out there and said, I want you to cater this airplane today and use this high-lift truck, you wouldn't have a clue. That's just like one day when they made me a regional engineer, and sent me to Florida. And of course, the guy that was down there, he was a little intimidated that they'd hired me, and I'd never had worked in this division at all. And they was teaching me about their trucks. So I walked down there, and I'm there looking at this truck, and that big old 20-foot truck's got two red lights on the dash I've never seen in my life. So I asked the foreman of the shop, I said, "What's those two red lights?" He said, "They hired you as a regional engineer, and you don't know what them two red lights are?" I said, "Do you know what valve overlap is on an engine?" "What's that?" I said, "Oh, okay. I can't believe you're the foreman of the shop, and you don't know what that is." I said, "Surely you graduated from engineering school, didn't you?" "No." I said, "Oh, okay." So I said, "You know, just because I don't know what them two lights are, and you don't know what valve overlap is, I said, maybe there's some things you and I both could learn." I said, "Now, do you know what those are?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Good. You explain that to me, then I'll tell you what valve overlap is. Then we'll both be smarter." You see where I'm coming from? I don't care who you are. Don't you ever get to the point where you think that you're smarter than everybody in the world, because there's some little kid that knows something you don't know. You know, when you think, "I've got it all together." Some little kid will walk up and say, "Keith, you know how this works?" "So I never even thought about that." He said, "What? You're a project manager? You don't know how that works?" "I know how that works." That really makes us look bad, doesn't it, Keith? See, but that's the way God will do it. He'll send somebody, some little nobody in to do something, so don't ever think you're somebody, because you're not. You know, if God's given you something, give Him the glory and the credit for everything. Now then, let's go to the verse 20 and 21. But Zias is very bold. Now, that's the way all of us should be. Very bold with God's word. "And saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel," he says, "all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and a gainslaying," or an obstinate, "people." Wow. Is God pretty merciful? He's pretty merciful. He's really been more than merciful to us. And if we will just try, He will do great and mighty things through us today. He's just done this. Now then, let's go to this, after this, let's go to Colossians 1. We'll get a little of this. We're not going to get it all. I didn't realize until I looked at my watch just then. It's 4 o'clock already. I just can't believe it's already 4 o'clock. We only been 5 minutes. You just got started. You know, and already it's 4. Where does the time go when you're having fun? You know, when as much fun as I have here serving the Lord on earth, and as quick as time goes by, now I can understand why the King says, "When I get to heaven, there ain't going to be no time." No time. You know, I don't have to worry about it. I can sit and talk with Him for 1,000 years, and it's going, I say, "Whoa." He said, "Well, I've answered your questions for a few minutes now. Why don't you go let somebody else talk to me?" "And how long I've been here, Lord?" He said, "Oh, about 1,000 years, you know, so." Oh, wow. By that time, we might need to, I go over and get Eldon. Let's go have something to eat, you know, my goodness. If we've been up here 1,000 years, we might need a sandwich or something, you know. So, isn't it fun? We have no idea how much fun it's going to be serving the King in the kingdom. But we're already in the kingdom. We're already having fun serving Him, aren't we? I mean, that's the whole thing when you get a hold of that. Colossians 1, and let's start verse 15, and let's look at this. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Now, see, God is invisible, but Jesus had to become visible so you and I could see Him. He existed before God made anything at all and is supreme over all creation. Now, He wasn't visible then. He was invisible. Because until Christ came, He was a spirit. And so He was invisible, and the whole kingdom of God was invisible, and you couldn't see it. But He made this earth, and He put us on it. And He existed before God made anything. So Christ was with Him in the beginning, wasn't He? And all, at anything at all, and He is supreme over all creation. So if He's supreme, that means there's nothing greater than Him, right? Nothing. The Father made Jesus supreme. Now Christ is the one through whom God created everything. So, if Christ is the one that created everything, then in heaven and earth, he made the things we can see and the things we can't see. Now then, when I think about what's there in this invisible world that you and I can't see, if God would open our spiritual eyes just for a moment, that we could see the invisible world, I'm going to tell you it would straighten all of us up. You know, if you for a moment could see that ghastly demon that's been sent by Satan himself to destroy you, if you could see the ugliness of that thing, the wickedness of that thing, and his intent to steal, kill, and destroy you, if you could see him, it would probably, the reason God don't show him to you is because where most of us are, it would literally scare us to death.
Amen.
We'd have a heart attack and die because we don't know who we are. We don't know the authority and power that we have over these beasts. It would literally shock us. And if you don't believe that, you just see man or woman. In fact, I walked up here and just another man, a young man, 30 years old or whatever, 35. He was sitting there working on something inside of a building. Doors wide open and everything, so I just walked in. I walked up and I said, "Hi, son." When I said, "Hi, son," he jumped like that, and I said, are you afraid of something? No, but you startled me. Guess what? He really needs to find out who he is in Christ.
Amen.
He may not be in Christ. I don't know. But, you know, if you're a son of God, you need to get the fact resolved. Hey, I'm a child of the King. I got angels here. If somebody woke up and spoke to me and I looked up and it was the most ghastly, ugly thing I ever saw in my life, I'd say, "Oh, demon, how are you doing today? Let me kick you out in the name of Jesus." You know, are we supposed to be afraid of anything?
No.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I read a scripture somewhere that says something about perfect love does what? Cast out how much fear? So maybe we need to get a little closer into love.
Amen.
How would you like to walk in perfect love? Ooh! Then whenever the devil comes, I can just see it now, Deborah. You wake up one morning, and there's a beast standing over there in the corner. Oh, you smell this awesome, foul odor. You wake up and say, "What is that?" And the devil taps you on the shoulder and says, "Deborah, it's me. I come to kill you today." Oh, you look at him and say, "Oh, devil, just you. Just turn over and go back to sleep." Now, see, most women won't do that, will they? You know, be like my cousin. Whenever she saw her first demon, my cousin and her husband, they bought them a house down close to Austin. And she worked in the post office, he worked in the post office, and he had to get up really early in the morning, 5 o'clock, and go to work. And so she was laying there in bed one morning, and she says, "I just had this sensation." They're Christians, but, you know, normal Christians. She said, "I was laying there in the bed, and I had a sensation that somebody was looking at me." Now, see, that's the Holy Spirit talking to her. And she said, "Moon was shining bright through the window." And she said, "I just kind of flipped the cover back and I looked up and there was a woman. I could see her from the top of her. So I saw her face just as clear. And she's standing right there in my doorway in my house." Now, think about this, ladies. If you were a woman, you're home by yourself, your husband's already gone to work, and you see a woman or a man standing in the doorway, what are you going to do? Well, I'll tell you what she did. She grabbed the cover and threw it over her head. And then she said, "I lay there for a minute and thought, good grief, if that woman's going to do something to me, I want to see it. I don't want." So she said, "I throwed the cover off," and she was gone. And so she said, "I got up and I turned every light on in the house. I checked every door, every window. Everything was locked. I looked in every closet. There was nobody in my house." But she said, "One day I was down at one of my new neighbors," and said, "I was down there and I walked in and there is a picture of that woman I saw in my bedroom." And I said, "Who is that woman?" And the neighbor said, "Oh, that's the friend of mine that she used to own the house that you bought."
Wow.
Well, she said, What happened to her? Oh, she said she died a few years ago. She died? She died? Yes. So anyway, she saw her in the next two or three years, four, five, or six times in her house. So we went down there to visit them one time. Kids were little bitty. Tim and Amanda, you know, like 4 and 2. Well, we're sitting there one night, and my cousin is telling me about this lady she sees in her house every once in a while. My kids are listening. I didn't realize they was paying attention until we went upstairs to go to bed. Amanda first, Daddy, I'm sleeping with you. Tim said, Daddy, I'm sleeping with you too. I said, okay, I guess we'll all sleep in the same bed then. So Mama got on one side and me on the other side, two kids between us. You know, I mean, they're going to snuggle up to Mama and Daddy. I mean, they ain't about to be out there by themselves in the bed by themselves. I said, no problem, kids. I said, it's just a demon. I said, it's no problem. I said, we're sons and daughters of God. So I did, before I went to bed, I stood up and I said, Lord, I said, this devil of hell that's in this house, I said, I don't know what kind of curse is over this place. But I said, I know I have power over this devil. Amen. So I said, this demon of hell that's doing what is... How much power do we have over the devil?
Oh.
Hey, see, I knew that. So I stood up there and voiced it. I said, now then, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm taking authority and power over this demon of hell, and I'm commanding this demon to vacate these premises and never come back in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I said, now, no problem, it's done. I said, we'll go to bed, we sleep great. But the kids wouldn't sleep in their bed anyway. No, they ain't believing this, you know, not at 2 and 4. They still feel a whole lot safer with Daddy and Mama. And I understand that, you know, so I no problem. I let them sleep with us, no problem at all. But we was down there 4 or 5 years later, and I asked Linda, I said, have you ever seen that woman anymore since we was here? She says, as a matter of fact, I haven't. I said, I knew it. She said, what do you mean? I said, I kicked her out of here when I was here last time. I said, Glenda, it was just a demon. Oh, Thurman. I said, that's what it was. It was a demon.
Amen.
It was a demon, and she manifested herself like the woman that used to live here. I said, that's the way it is. And I said, no problem. I had authority, so I just kicked it out.
Amen.
Now then, see, you've got to understand this spiritual world.
Mm-hmm.
You have power over it.
Yes.
He gave you all power over the spiritual world. What do you and I as Christians have to fear?
Nothing.
Will God protect you?
Yes.
Let me tell you how he'll protect you. Just last week, Thursday, I was out here digging this ditch to put this septic line in so we can have these bathrooms working. And so for those of you that are here today, know we got three of them working back there now here. And, of course, you know, they're all hooked up, but, you know, we've only got one sink hooked up, and it's at the end of the hall. But anyway, the signs will tell you, well, at least we have three working bathrooms in this building now. And before long, we'll have all of them. But I was digging that ladder line out there with my backhoe. I'd been digging about an hour. And all of a sudden, the Spirit spoke to my mind. I didn't hear an audible voice this time. I just heard him speak to my mind through my spirit. And he says, check your lower pivot pin. Man, I stopped that backhoe steady, right? I didn't move another muscle. I jumped off of it and got down and looked at the lower pivot pin. The retaining pin that holds it in was broken in two places, sticking out on both sides, and the lower pin had already dropped down about 1/4 inch. I said, thank you, Father,
Amen.
For warning me. So I lowered the boom, took the weight off of it, pushed the pin back up, drove the old one, got a punch, drove the old pin out, got it started on the other side. When I got it relined up, took the new pin, drove it right on through, put a nut on it. In 5 minutes, I'm back to work. I said, Lord, I'm so grateful that you're my Lord. I'm so grateful you're my God. Otherwise, I'd have tore up that thing. When that thing fell out, who knows, I might have been all evening trying to put it back together. No telling what it would have cost. It didn't cost me nothing, 5 minutes. Does it pay good dividends to listen to the Spirit? If you're walking in obedience to God, what will He do? He'll talk to you. When those thoughts come to your mind, don't say, oh, that's nothing. You know, a lot of times you hear these women say, you know, I just knew that. No, you didn't just know that. That's my woman's intuition. No, it wasn't. It was the Spirit of God talking to you.
Amen.
You see? But you call it women's intuition. We call it conscious. Even the Scripture calls it conscious, right? But it's the Spirit.
Amen.
The Spirit of the living God that's communicating with you. And if you'll get to where you listen, you'll get into a whole lot less trouble.
Amen.
Now then, He'll talk to you a whole lot more if you're obedient than He will if you're
Amen.
Disobedient.
Amen.
If you're disobedient, sometimes he'll talk to you when you're disobedient. He'll tell you what you're doing wrong.
Amen.
And some people don't want to hear that. But if he told you, you better straighten your act up. Guarantee it. It says, now, Christ is the one through whom God created everything in heaven and earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see. And then he lists them. Kings, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities. Everything has been created through him and for him. So where did Satan and his host of demons come from? God made them. Why did he make them? For his purpose. You know, why did he make these fellows? I'll tell you why he made them. He made them as a whipping post for you and me. This invisible world, when we disobey him, he sends these things which have to obey him. And if he sends a demon to you, if he says, Satan, go down there and attack Sharon. She's been a bad girl. Put a brain tumor on her. Put her back out of place. Make her hip fall out of place. Make her arm fall out of place. All those things happened to you, didn't it, Sharon? Now see, but that's when she was a bad girl. That's when she didn't believe these things. That's when she didn't know these things. And anything you do that's not of faith is sin. So you were living in sin. So the devil was just continuing to tear you up. And then you learned the truth. When you learned the truth, praise God, you got healed, didn't you? So now then you don't... Now then I get tickled at Sharon once in a while. I have to call her down every once in a while. See, she's got so much faith now when somebody calls... She can just say, well, you know, all you got to do is just get over it. You know, Jesus will heal you. I mean, he's already done it to me all over, so I know he's a healer. You don't have to try to convince me. I mean, so if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. You need to just repent of your sins and get over it. Well, I have to walk into her office, pat her on the shoulder and say, Sharon, honey, you know, be a little more compassionate with these folks. You know, but Pastor Thurman, if they'd only... I said, I know, but they don't all know what you know.
Amen.
I said, and you didn't learn it overnight either. Amen. But I know it now. I said, yeah, but they don't.
Amen.
And we have to remember that, don't we, Sharon? I mean, all of us. I have to remember that, too. And where I walk, you know, and where I've walked in the last few years, I think, well, good grief, just get over it. You know, just believe God. But everybody ain't there, are they? So I have to be gentle and lead them through and pray the prayer of faith for them and love them. Because that's what Jesus told us to do, right? Be loving and kind and pat them on the backside and, you know, bring them along and pray the prayer of faith for them and get them healed. And then tell them, now, don't go back into your sin, right? And if, once you've received a wonderful healing from God and you learned that it was your sin that did it, you won't go back there no more, will you? No, you won't do it. No. When you realize there's a consequence... You know, for a sin, you know, you ain't going to go there. But anyway, everything was made by him and for him and for his glory. So right there, since it's 4:15, we're going to stop right there at verse 16.
Would you tell Howard Pittman's description of how the demons work and lust? And you know,
I'll talk about that right quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll give you an example. We talked about this many times. But this would be another good thing to put on this teaching. That when we went down, of course, they went with us. All the staff, we went down to where Howard Pittman was here a few months ago. And we all had the privilege to sit around a big table and talk to Howard Pittman all day long. And then we stayed and listened to his teaching that night till about 10. Then we came home. But Howard told us that the Lord showed him the way demons work. And he says that when he took him through this spiritual realm, he said he took him to a hospital where his body was laying. Howard was dead. But yet he's alive. That don't make sense, does it? But his body's laying in a room. He's dead. But here he is walking in his spirit form. And he can see and hear, and he's more alive than he's ever been. And he can see in the spirit world. Now, this guy died in 1979. But this is 2008. And in 2007, we talked to him. You know, so... He's alive and well, so God obviously brought him back from the dead. But before he brought him back from the dead, he took him on a spiritual trip of the spirit world. And he said the Lord sent an angel with him and took him to a hospital where his own body was laying. He said, we walked right through the wall and said, here's a man and a woman in there. And they were standing there face to face. And obviously they had just told some kind of a joke or something, and the punchline had just been given, and so both of them are laughing. And he said, as they were laughing, I'm looking, and there's something that looked like a wicked-looking green frog coming out of the floor. And he said, what is that? And the angel said, that's a demon of lust. He said, why is he getting bigger? He said, because the demon is putting thoughts in the man's mind to make him want this woman. And so he's beginning to think, I'd like to have this woman. And so although they're laughing and talking, the demon is working on his mind and he's continuing to think, I'd like to go to bed with this woman. And the more he thinks about it, the more he's given the demon power, and the bigger the beast gets, so the more power he's putting in him. And he said the demon got bigger and bigger and bigger, and all of a sudden he went whoosh right into his face and disappeared. He said, what happened then? He said, the demon just entered him. He now has a spirit of lust living inside his body. And every time he looks at a female, that spirit will rise up and say, you want her. And every time he yields to those and meditates on that, he'll get another one. And they'll get bigger and more powerful. And then one day it'll go beyond the point of just looking at her and saying, I want her. He'll be enticed by the demons to get her somewhere where he will have her, maybe even kill her. He said, those are demons of lust. Wow. Howard says, well, what can he do about that? He said, nothing until he finds a man of God that's walking clean and pure. And then when he is confronted with his sin and he repents after repentance, then the man of God that's walking pure can cast that thing out of him. But until that time, he's going to have that beast, all of them, in his body.
Wow.
That's the way it works. You want one of those boys?
No, sir.
No, not me. So when that devil puts a thought in your mind, like I said a while ago, I used an example and I said headache.
That's right.
He puts a thought in your headache. It's just that demon that's trying to say, oh, Ernest, you got a headache. No, Jesus bore my pain. I don't have a headache.
Amen.
He said, but you're a fool. You got one. You say, I do not deny the fact that my head's hurting right now, but I'm calling those things that be not as though they were, and I have power over you in the name of Jesus. Get out, devil. In Jesus' name. Just like Bruce did. He kicked the devil out. See, I mean, I knew the beast was going to come back sooner or later. I mean, the devil never misses a trick. When you cast him out, he never, that's one thing I like to say about that beast. He never gives up. He's very persuasive. I mean, he's on, that's, if I had to say something good about the devil, that's the only thing I could say. He's always on the job. He's not lazy. He's not like us. He's always on the job. And I'm telling you, if you don't stay on your toes night and day all of your life, the day's going to come when that devil's going to take every one of us out somehow, some way. You know that? That's his goal, to kill every one of us. So, how much power do we have over that devil?
Oh.
See, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against an invisible devil that come to get you. You know? And, of course, it's amazing what he does, how he does it. I don't care. He knows what everybody's weakness is. And he will get you somewhere if you even open the door. You open the door this much, he's in. And then you got him just like that demon of lust. When Howard Pittman told us about that great big ugly looking frog and that thing's growing out of the floor and getting bigger and bigger, and then he goes whoosh right into that guy's face and disappears. I don't want one of them, do you? No.
No, sir.
I want to be in control.
Amen.
You know, it's just like, I don't want anything to control me in life.
Amen.
I want to be able to control everything.
Yes, sir.
You know, so, I mean, I don't care if it's drinking water or milk or Dr. Peppers or anything else. Whenever we learned about drinking Dr. Pepper and how bad they were on us, I said, that's it. I drank Dr. Peppers off and on all my life. I said, that's it. I ain't never drinking another one. I ain't never had one of them things touch my lips since that day. Never. I won't ever drink another one. You know, never. I mean, if I want to, I can. I have that freedom, right? Yeah. I mean, if somebody comes along and says, hey, you want to drink a Dr. Pepper with me? I said, sure, I can drink one with you. I can't, but I ain't going to let them beasts control me.
You
know? But I do know what they do to my body, so why would I want to drink one? You know, if I know it's going to blow my pH completely out of the water. You know, why do I want to do that to my temple? Y'all see where I'm coming from? You know? But that devil, you know. Oh, I'll use my honey Benny. Oh, but you know how you love Dr. Peppers. Oh, she says, yeah, I do love them. See, but she's been real good, too. She's just about overcome that. She told me the other day she'd had a couple, two or three, I think, since we made that decision.
Four.
Oh, okay, she's had four. Oh, me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you and thank you for this beautiful day and this beautiful word that you've given us as your children. Lord, we're your sons and daughters. And Lord, thank you that you've given us all power over this enemy and that we don't have to yield to that beast.
Amen.
And thank you, Lord, that you bore our sickness, removed our disease. So, Lord, if we hear your report and believe it, we can walk in it. Thank you, Father, for being our mighty God. And I praise you and thank you, Lord, for using us this week for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.